Amen. Thank you. Make sure you're open to Matthew chapter 16. We're going to look at verses 1 through 12. There are two problems in this chapter, in this passage, two problems that are taking place. One of them is that the disciples forgot to take bread on their trip. The other is that there is a false teaching that is being taught by some people that have rejected Jesus Christ and don't know him. And the disciples are so worried about this lack of bread that they fail to see the bigger problem. We've talked about that in our nation right now. People are awfully worried about the virus. And I'm worried about the virus too, in the sense that I know some people are going to suffer and die. But wouldn't it be great if people were as concerned about eternal life as they are about temporary life? Amen. The life in this world is one thing, but eternal life is quite another. And the peace that you and I have by knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior, I'm talking about 100% sure that when you die or when the Lord comes back, there's no question in my mind, I'm going to go be with him.
Amen.
You say, Pastor, how can you know that? So many people say you have to wait and see. Maybe I'm not good enough, somebody said. Maybe I didn't do enough good works, somebody else said. Well, you see, those are all false teachings.
Amen.
The Bible says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us.
Praise.
Amen?
Amen?
The Bible says, to him that worketh, if you're trying to work to be saved, to him that worketh, the reward's not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, and that's Jesus, his faith is counted for righteousness. So today, if you trust Jesus as your Savior, God looks at you and he sees the righteousness of Christ. Just like when Jesus hung on the cross, how many sins did Jesus have to pay for? How many times did he sin in his life? He never sinned.
That's right. Amen.
So why would he have to suffer and die on a cross? Not for his sins, but for ours.
Right.
Someone says, well, Pastor, what if we sin after we're saved? Oh, we'll sin after we're saved. But the Bible teaches us the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin.
Amen?
Amen? Teaching, doctrine, the same exact word, they're synonym. They mean the same thing. So when I read the word doctrine, you just think about teaching, and you won't be quite so intimidated by this passage. And I'm going to let you remain seated while I read this, and then I'm going to have a real brief word of prayer. Matthew 16:1, the Bible says, the Pharisees, along with the Sadducees, came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. I got to stop and explain something to you, okay? There's two groups of people here, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They didn't teach the same thing. The Pharisees taught that you had to keep the Jewish Levitical law in order to have eternal life. In other words, all the laws of Moses, we see those mostly in Exodus and Leviticus, some in Deuteronomy, very detailed things. You could not, so many things you couldn't eat, so many things you couldn't do on the Sabbath day, which, by the way, the Sabbath day is still Saturday. This is the first day of the week. On the Sabbath day, you couldn't start a fire, you couldn't drive a cart, you couldn't go more than a certain distance, you had to rest. All those laws, the Pharisees taught, if you don't keep the law, you can't have eternal life. Now, you think that's crazy, listen to the Sadducees. The Sadducees says, when you're dead, you're dead. There is no eternal life. Go figure. Yeah, that's why they're sad, you see. That's an old joke we tell sometimes. They didn't believe there was a resurrection. What's the point? Paul said it this way. He said, if we only have hope in this life, then we are of all men most miserable. And then 1 Corinthians 15 says, if there's no resurrection, then why is there a baptism? Because baptism teaches resurrection, doesn't it? And then the Bible says, Paul said this also. He said, if you only have hope in this life, then eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you die. Folks, I want to tell you something. The Bible teaches eternal life. Jesus told the Sadducees, he says, you made a mistake. He says, God is not the God of the dead. He's the God of the living. Abraham is alive. Isaac is alive. Jacob is alive, and so on, because there is life after death. And I'm glad there is. I enjoy some things about this life and some things I don't enjoy. I'm sure looking forward to that perfect life, aren't you? I hope you are. The alternative is to spend eternity in a lake of fire. And I hate to even think anybody here would have to go through that, but if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, if you're trusting something else, then you're not going to have eternal life. Pastor, how do you know that? Because the Bible says so.
Amen.
It says there's no salvation in any other. It says, I thought about this week. The nation, the Islamic religion says God does not have a son. The Islamic religion said that God doesn't, that they call him Allah, that he doesn't have a son. Our Bible calls him Father.
Amen.
Because he is a father, amen? He's the father of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's our father because he's adopted us into his family. So let's look at this story here real quick, and I'm keep reading here. The Pharisees and the Sadducees came tempting, and they desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it's evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they went across the Sea of Galilee, they had forgotten to take bread. Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. If you don't know what leaven is, ask some of the ladies here that make bread. Leaven is yeast. And you know what a cracker is, right? Cracker doesn't have yeast in it. It's hard and it's crusty and crunchy. Bread, on the other hand, has yeast in it, which causes little bubbles, and it makes the bread soft and it gives it a different texture and a different flavor. And he says, beware of the yeast or the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Verse 7. And they, that's the disciples, reasoned among themselves. They're talking about this, saying, is it because we have taken no, or it is because we have taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand, not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I spake it not to you concerning bread, for ye should beware that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Look at this, verse 12. Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Father, please bless the reading of your word and our message now in Christ's name. Amen. I'll show you three things here, and all of them are problems that men have. And the first problem here is in verses 1 through 4, men seeking a sign. Now, what is a sign? Okay, now watch this. If you saw the Lord Jesus Christ take 5 loaves and a few fishes, and feed 5,000 people, that's pretty impressive, isn't it?
Amen.
And then a couple of days later, you saw him take a few loaves and fishes and feed 4,000 people, that's pretty impressive, isn't it? And then later on, you see him heal the lame and give a blind man his sight. And then you see him raise Lazarus from the dead. I don't know about you, but when I see somebody do that, I know he's special, don't you? Now, in the day in which we live, I want you to know something. There's a lot of people that walk around saying that they can heal people like that. And you've heard of these faith healers, and they say they can heal people. And if you meet one of them, bring him to me or her to me. And here's what I'm going to do. Think right now what we might do is, first thing, since it's pretty quick, we'll get in my car, and we're going to drive to the nearest hospital and empty the place.
Amen.
And then we'll go to the next hospital and empty it. When we're out of hospitals in Phoenix, we'll get on an airplane, go to San Francisco or Los Angeles or Seattle or New York and heal all these sick people. Just empty the hospitals out. Now, you say, well, Pastor, it doesn't work that way. I know that. Because the way the Lord heals today is different than what it was. But let me tell you this. If Jesus was here, he could empty the hospitals.
Amen?
Amen? And when he can empty that hospital, you know something. He's different. He's special. He's got power that comes from God. He can do miracles nobody else can do. He can turn bread into a multitude of bread that can feed many people. He can raise a dead person back to life. He can heal, and he can give people sight, and he can make a leper clean again. Now think of all the miracles Jesus did, and look at how foolish these men are. They said, oh, we'd like to see a sign. Did you miss everything that's been happening? What's the problem? And the problem is this. They're not going to believe no matter what they see.
That's right. Amen.
They have made their mind up. In fact, this is the key phrase here. Look at that verse again. Do you see it? He says, they were tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. In other words, this is a test. Prove to me that you are the Son of God. Forgot who else said that. Oh, yeah, I remember now. Satan said that when he was tempting Jesus, didn't he? Oh, by the way, same word, testing. I want to tell you something. Jesus doesn't have to prove who he is.
Amen.
He's already done that.
Amen.
And if you want to know the truth, this is where you're going to find it.
Amen.
I've seen some, when I was in college, a man came to our school, and he was amazing. And I don't play card games. I'm not big on cards, but he could take a stack of cards, a deck of cards, and he could touch that deck of cards and tell you one's missing. Two are missing. He had practiced so much, his hands were so refined, he could just touch a deck of cards and tell you, oh, they're all there. Or there's an extra one. I can't do that. But that's not a miracle. That's just practice. But what about somebody that could do a miracle? If you could see a miracle, would that convince you? I want to remind you of something. Satan can do miracles.
Amen.
We need something better than what we can see, don't we? I won't take you there, but Peter said it this way. Peter said, listen to me. We have touched the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw him before the crucifixion, and we saw him afterwards, and we know he rose from the dead. He said, but we have, you and I have, a more sure word of prophecy. You know, I had a couple of Mormon missionaries come to my house one time, and they were trying to get me to believe the Book of Mormon. And they were telling me all how impressive it was to them and all that. And I said, well, how do you know it's true? Well, we read it, they said, and we had a burning in our bosom. I call that heartburn, but that's a different matter. And I have that all the time. And if I don't take medicine, I have bad burning in the bosom. It doesn't prove anything. But they said, we had this burning when we read that book. I said, so you want me to trust your experience? Well, yeah. I said, I held out my wristwatch. At that time, it had a black band. I said, what color is this wrist? Is this watch band? And they said, black. And I said, how do you know? Because we can see it. I said, what if you were colorblind? How do you know you're not colorblind? How do you know there's not a trick going on here? I said, but if I write down the words, this watch band is black, there's no question about it, is there?
Right.
Now, if you didn't get my point, here's what I'm trying to say to you is this. What you see is not as sure as what God writes.
Amen.
Right? Now, we have young people on the front row. I'm excited about that. I think they can learn something today. I want you young people to know something. If it's in this book, it's the truth.
Amen.
If it's not in this book, it's not the truth. When you live your life and you want to know something, what should I do? What should I not do? It's in this book. Say, well, maybe I should have 10 wives, Pastor. No, this book says you should have one wife. You say, well, maybe I should make a living stealing and lying and cheating. No, it says in this book not to do those kind of things. Maybe I should live my life to make money. You know, the Bible says you won't be happy if you do that. In fact, read the book of Proverbs. You've been teaching in that, haven't you? Been teaching in Proverbs? Wow, what a great book.
Amen.
It's the truth. This book is the truth. This is where our teaching's got to come from and what it must agree with. And if it doesn't, it's not right. The Pharisees said, no, no, we want to see a sign. And here's what Jesus said to them. He said in verse 4, he said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. If you won't believe what God said, you're wicked. Amen?
Amen.
Someone says, well, I believe in evolution. That's wicked. God said, in the beginning God created.
Amen.
And by the way, I've got a degree in engineering, and I've studied a lot of science and a lot of chemistry and a lot of physics. I've studied thermodynamics. And I can just tell you, all the laws of science say evolution is impossible.
That's right.
So if you believe in evolution, I don't know what you're believing in, but the scientists even say it can't be done. Now, that was one of the first things I was taught in the first week of thermodynamics. You cannot create or destroy energy or matter. It doesn't happen. So evolution, where did they get the stuff from? Where you say, well, it all, where did it come from? Had to come from somewhere, didn't it? God created it. If you believe something else, you know, the scientist that says there's no God, he'll find out one day, won't he? I'm glad I've met God in time. Pharisees and the Sadducees want a sign. There's no sign. It's a wicked and adulterous generation that seeketh after a sign. He says, there shall no sign be given unto it. You know, if you want proof, I just want you to know something. God's not going to bow down and prove himself to you. Now, I've told you this story several times, but some of you haven't heard it, and I think it's funny, so I'll tell it again. There were these two ants, and they were walking along down a railroad track out in the middle of nowhere in the country, and these two ants are walking along talking to each other, because in my story, ants can talk. And they're walking along the railroad track, and the one ant says, there's no train. He says, I've never seen the train. I've never heard the train. There's no train. The other ant says, yeah, there's a train. I'm sure there is. And the first ant says, have you seen it? No, but look, here's the railroad track. The ant says, well, there's no train. And the ant hops up on the railroad track, and he says, if there's a train, I want you to come and smash me right now. And he stands there, and he looks both ways, and nothing happens. And he hops off the railroad track and says to the other ant, see, there's no train. Folks, there's a train.
Amen.
Amen? The fact that God won't prove himself to you simply demonstrates to me he's bigger than that. And folks, I want you to know there's a God. I say, Pastor, I had a lady ask me this one time, how do you know there's a God? Because he lives in my heart. Amen? Because he talks to me. Because he's changed me. Because he works in my life and makes me different. Amen? That's one of the ways you know you're saved, is God's working on you. You read the Bible and you get excited about it instead of thinking it needs to be proved. Don't seek after a sign. Just believe what God said. If I had time, I could show you all the miracles that this Bible demonstrates. A man named Isaiah, a prophet, who gave us the name of the man that was going to decree the rebuilding of Jerusalem 100-and-something years before Jerusalem was even destroyed. And he told us who he was going to be. There's a list in Daniel of what's going to happen after Alexander the Great dies and his generals begin to conquer various parts of the Middle East. And he lists them in order of the conquest. All sorts of prophecy in the Bible has come to pass. This book is a miraculous book.
Amen.
Say, Pastor, I want a sign. Well, here's what you need to do. Start reading in Genesis chapter 1. And you'll see plenty of signs. Amen? All right, there's a second problem here that men are guilty of. I'm telling you, don't seek signs. Trust this book.
Amen.
Okay, don't seek signs. Trust this book. There's a second problem. This is a big problem. Men spreading their, I'll just use the word lies. He uses the word leaven, and he explains it as doctrine in verse 12. Now, I want to read this to you. It says in verse 5, when the disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, they're thinking about the kind of bread you eat. Jesus uses leaven. What do you make bread out of? Yeast, right? Leaven. He uses it as an illustration. He says, look out, beware, there's danger. Y'all, you come to a fence, there's a sign on the fence that says, beware of dog. If you don't know where they are, Brother Gonzalez has a map of all of them in the whole city. He knows where they all are because he knows about that because he's been bitten before. Beware of dog. When I come to a gate, if there's a sign that says beware of dog, then I'd have to send Brother Mendez in first. Amen? And he won't go because he's been bitten too. And he knows where the bad dogs are. And I know of one I'm thinking of I won't name. But anyway... And so you see a sign that says, beware of dog. What that tells me is this. There's something dangerous here. There's something dangerous. Beware. There's something dangerous here. In fact, when we come to a gate that doesn't have a sign, we rattle the gate just to make sure, don't we? Brother Gonzalez waits outside, even if there's no sign and no gate. He stays outside. He didn't want to get bit. Praise the Lord. Wise man. Beware. Beware of what? What's dangerous? What's dangerous? What's dangerous? False teaching. If somebody tells you that you have to be good enough to be saved, that's false teaching. If somebody tells you you have to be baptized to be saved, that's false teaching. Now, here's the problem. Now I'm going to turn it around. Let me show you something else. We have little children right now next door, and they're being taught, aren't they? They're being taught the truth out of the Bible. We had a Sunday school this morning, and the teachers taught truth out of the Bible. We had a good time this morning in Sunday school looking at some of the stories in the Old Testament. I want to go back and preach some of those. But we're looking at truth out of the Bible. When you teach somebody the truth, then when someone tries to teach them lies, they'll say, no, wait a minute, I know the truth. Amen. The truth inoculates you. It protects you from false teaching. That's why it's important to get children in Sunday school and teach them the truth. The truth teaches so that when lies come later, folks can say, no, I know that's not true because the Bible says this. What if it's the other way around? I lived in Salt Lake City for about 15 years as an assistant pastor, and I'd go talk to people. And I went into a home one night, and the lady invited me in. And about the time I sat down, here came two Mormon missionaries. And they sat down in the room. And then here came a bunch of other folks, and they sat down in the room. And so now I'm outnumbered about 10 to 1. And I'm trying to witness to these folks about Jesus Christ. And I would tell them about Jesus, and they'd say, no, that's not right. We've been taught something else. I'd tell them about how to be saved. They'd say, no, that's not right. We've been taught something else. I'd tell them who Jesus is and what he did to pay for their sins. That's not right. We've been taught something else. And you see, once you've learned the lie, it's awfully hard to overcome that with the truth. Amen. Beware. I'm going to say it in two or three ways. Number one, be careful who you let teach you. You say, Pastor, I went to the Christian bookstore and bought a great book. Be careful what you read. Amen. Say, Pastor, I saw this church and it's non-denominational, but it sure did seem like a good church. Be sure someone's teaching you the Bible. This is, if you hadn't caught on by now, this is not a motivational speech. I didn't stand up here and tell you how to make money or how to feel good. And I want you to feel good, and I want God to bless you. But much more important than leaven in bread, see, they were worried about what they got to eat. Much more important is what we're taught. Amen. There are many people, the Bible says in Peter, there are false teachers out there. There's a bunch of them. One of the hardest things, I think, that the men here that go soul winning would agree, the hardest thing we deal with going soul winning is probably two things. People that reject God outright and don't believe there is a God, they're hard to deal with. And then the ones that are taught false things.
Right. Amen.
A knock on a door and somebody says, I'm a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I'm thinking, oh boy, my work's cut out for me. I better start quoting verses. And I quote them a verse and they say, well, I don't believe that. Now what can you do? You just told me you don't believe what God said. I don't know how to help you. Young people, learn the Bible.
Amen?
Amen?
That's right. Read.
If you don't learn the Bible, someone's going to lie to you and you're going to believe it.
Right.
I got to finish. Let's look at one more thing real quick. We had people seeking a sign. Don't do that. People spreading lies. Don't do that. Now, this last one is interesting, and I'm just trying to make sense of it here. Some people that didn't understand. Look at verse 12. He says, then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Up until that point, look what he says here. It says in verse 11, how is it that you do not understand? Look at verse 9. Do you not yet understand? And so what's the problem there? Jesus made a statement that was, it was an illustrative statement. He compared it to leaven, but it was a clear statement. And they didn't get it, and they didn't get it, and they didn't get it. Now, I want to tell you something that absolutely will work if you'll do it. In James, the Bible says this: if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not.
Amen.
If you don't understand something, have you thought about asking God? Amen?
Amen.
And then what you need to do when you ask God, read your Bible and see what God says. Amen? It's that simple. If I'm reading my Bible and I'm studying for a message and I get stuck, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? I've got some books. I might look at them and see what somebody else said. Most of the time, that doesn't do any good. I found the best thing for me to do is to pray and ask God and then wait until He answers.
Amen.
And God will show you the truth. Now, it may be a quick, it may be a slow process, but God will show you the truth. And I found some amazing things just because God showed them to me. And I'll tell you the clue: when God shows you something, the Bible will back it up. If the Bible doesn't back it up, don't go for it, okay? So these men, they don't understand. They don't understand. They don't understand. And you may say, well, Pastor, I just don't understand. How could God love me that much? There's some things I don't understand either, but I know He does because the Bible says so. How can Jesus die for my sins? I don't know, but He did. How is it that simply by believing, God can declare me righteous? I don't know, but the Bible says it. How can God speak and all of a sudden there's light? And all of a sudden there's heaven and earth? How can God do that? I don't know, but He can. You haven't got to know how everything works. You just need to know what the Bible says is true and believe it. And there may be some things God never shows us, and there may be some things He will. But we don't have to understand everything. But there are some things that we do need to understand, and that has those things that pertain to our life. The disciples were hung up on the kind of bread you can eat. And they got stuck on that, and they didn't go any further. And Jesus wanted them to see past that. Now, I'm going to tell you something. If you spend your whole life simply trying to gain material possessions and worrying about having enough money or having more money or having much more money, and if you spend your whole life chasing that kind of thing, you're going to miss out on some of the greatest truths in the Bible. God will give you those things. And here's what Jesus said to them. He said, you're worried because you have no bread with you. Didn't you remember how just a little while ago I fed 5,000? And then a little after that I fed 4,000? Don't you think I can take care of you, He says? Amen? God takes care of us. And shame on us for doubting Him. He says, now there's something more important. He says, you don't understand in verse 11, I wasn't talking about the kind of bread you can eat. He says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Now, the problem is this, back in verse 7. You look at this, you might even underline this perhaps. They reasoned among themselves. They reasoned among themselves. In other words, they're standing around saying, what do you think this means? What do you think this means? What do you think this means? If you don't understand, ask Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
And I'll tell you this, some of the most horrific, some of the lies, the false doctrines that cause the most trouble are things men just kind of thought, maybe that's right. I think that sounds good. That sounds right. I think I'll believe that. Folks, we don't believe things because they make sense to us. We believe them because God says them.
Amen.
They reasoned among themselves and they didn't get anywhere. There's a group of people, I won't tell you their name, they meet once a year and have this big annual meeting, and they vote on what things in the Bible they think they should follow, whether or not they should do this or not do this. When the Bible says, don't do it, and they get together and vote, and they say, oh, we think we'll do this. I'm going to tell you something, you can vote all you want. When God said it, that settles it. Someone says, well, you know, people have been doing it that way for a long time, Pastor. They've been baptizing people for over 1,000 years, so surely baptism saves you. Now, that's your own reasoning. You're not going to get anywhere if you trust in what you think. It's what God says.
Amen.
I used to teach algebra in the school last year. I found out something. Our reasoning doesn't get our students very far. They think, well, it's got to be that way. No, it's not that way at all. It's another way. And some of my students are here, and they pass, praise the Lord, by the skin of their teeth, the Bible says, but they did pass. And when you decide, I'm going to believe what the book says instead of what I think, that's when you're getting somewhere. Amen?
Amen.
Be very careful. All right, let's finish this up real quick. Folks, doctrine is important. What is taught is important. Let me read you some verses. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, the Bible says, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. The word sound there means solid, true doctrine. The word endure means put up with or tolerate or allow. And folks, we live in that day. 100 years ago, if you'd gone into a church, Lutheran church, Methodist church, Presbyterian church, they would have taught you doctrine. The Lutheran would have taught you, you have to be baptized to be saved, which is not true. The Methodist would have taught you, you can lose your salvation, which is not true. The Presbyterian would have taught you that God chose who to save and who not to, and you hope you're one of the ones he chose, because if not, you're in big trouble. But when you're a baby, if people will get you baptized, then there's a covenant there, and God will save you later, which is all not true. Today, you go into those churches, and they'll tell you all sorts of things, but they don't teach doctrine anymore. False doctrine tends to turn into no doctrine at all.
Amen.
If you'd have gone into a Baptist church 100 years ago, good chance you'd have heard this. You and I are all sinners. And there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. The Bible says, like I quoted you already, you can't work, you can't be baptized, you can't do anything to pay for your sins. But Jesus Christ died to pay for your sins. And when you ask him to, he will save you, and he will save you for all eternity. And that's your choice. God did not say, you're saved, you're lost, you're saved, you're lost. God said, he's not willing any should perish. And then, I won't go any further, but there's some other doctrines that we teach that are very important. Folks, it's important to teach what the Bible says. This is not complicated. It may be that folks don't enjoy it, but we need to know what the Bible says. We live in a day when folks don't put up with sound doctrine. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Folks, if this is Scripture, it came from God.
Amen.
If it came from men, it's not Scripture. You say, well, all Baptists believe that. I found out otherwise.
Yeah.
But sadly, a lot of people will tell you this is just a close approximation of what God said. No, this is the Word of God.
Amen.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine. In other words, it's good to be taught from. Amen? You know, when I read you a verse in this book, it doesn't matter what verse I read you, you can trust it.
Amen.
And you can learn from it. God will teach you from it. You can do that. I can do that. 2 John 1:9, how serious is God about doctrine? He says this, whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. Big words there. The word abide means live. The doctrine of Christ. Who was Jesus? Was he a good man, or was he the Son of God? Is he one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or are there many gods? Has he always been God, or did he become God? All those things. The Bible teaches all those things. He's the Son of God, only begotten, eternal. Hebrews says he is the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
It's all in the Bible. If you don't have the right teaching about Jesus, you don't have God. If you don't have God, you don't have eternal life. One more verse. Titus 2, verse 7 says this, in all things, show thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness. Folks, God expects us to know the truth.
Amen.
He gave us a book. I hate to use the illustration because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, but tomorrow and Tuesday, our teachers will take the textbooks, and they will put homework together and give it to the students. And the students will take that home, and prayerfully they will read the material, answer the questions, and turn in the material. And those questions will be tested, checked, verified, graded against what the student thought? No. Against popular opinion? No. Against what's in the book?
Amen.
Amen? Folks, you want to decide what's true? What's in the book? Let's all stand and pray.